You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Get to a story about Thanksgiving family etiquette here in just a few minutes. But first, I think Sam and I were talking about this the other day. NASA astronaut Sunita Williams has finally addressed growing concerns about her health following her extended stay aboard the International Space Station.
Have you seen her picture?
Yeah. Oh, it was you and me that was talking
yes.
about it. That's right. A photo of Williams from September 24th showing her looking notably gaunt raised alarms about her weight. However, the astronaut, who has been stranded on the ISS for 159 days, clarified that her weight has remained unchanged since her launch in June. Quoting here from Sunita Williams, "I think things shift around quite a bit. You've probably heard of fluid shifts. People in space, you know, their heads look a little bit bigger because the fluid evens out along the body." Her face looks noticeably thinner, I thought.
I'm going to use the word gaunt. And then next to her fellow astronaut who is stranded with her, he did not seem to appear that way.
Williams and Barry Wilmore, 61, he's 61, have been stranded on the space station since June when it was deemed that the Boeing Starliner that they rode up there in was deemed to be too unsafe for them to use in their return back to Earth. I think last word was somebody's going up there in February to bring them back.
We still have time to get ape costumes for everybody. So when they show up.
Speaking of apes, could I please get an update on the headcount for the escaped macaws?
Sure, I'm happy to look it up for you.
Are we to the point where they're just going to let bygones be bygones here?
Well, considering we haven't had an update since the 25,
right.
I'm assuming we're still at the 25.
Let's see. Yesterday.
10 hours ago.
Update.
Let's see here.
I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of rooting for the monkeys.
35 recovered total.
Oh, man. I am too, Dana.
So there
be
are
free,
eight,
little ones.
There are eight left.
There are eight still missing.
Oh. Run, be free.
Keep fighting. Right? Keep fighting.
Fight the good fight, guys. Keep running. Don't stop for anybody. Is people being told to shelter in place?
What are we sheltering in place from?
Oh, I would be done sheltering in place. At the point that there's only eight left, I'm like, nah, I'm going to take my chances.
I mean, these are not attack macaques.
So. Do you know that?
How do you know? It's what well, that one you, woman said before you, a chimpanzee ripped her face off.
Are you a macaque expert?
Well...
I mean, we're experts on a lot of things on this show, but macaques is not one of them.
Now, they may have a tendency to attack Daniel because they've never been in the wild
That's
before.
That's true. They may be freaked out.
Mm-hmm. And they're probably hungry, and you look delicious.
they okay.
All right. What's this story that you have
well, it
from
wasn't,
the New York Times?
It wasn't really a story so much as it was
a Dear Abby,
a letter to the editor type thing. And what the letter said yesterday, and it was very well written, it was a woman who said, "Thanksgiving is upon us, and I have a question. We want to keep things incredibly small this year, and by small, we mean like five people. Am I obligated, or let me ask it a different way, should I feel the guilt I am feeling because I do not want to invite my sibling and my sibling's family?" And they go on to say that the children are...
hard to deal with.
Yeah. Insufferable, I think was the word she used. Insufferable.
What a great thing to say about your children.
But if...
well, their children, not
if
ours.
She
well,
said,
have
if,
you ever met a teenager?
If I invite one cousin and I don't invite the sibling, like, then there's an issue. She even wrote, "This got so bad last year where I was so stressed out about it. We just went out to eat. I just said, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to feel guilty about it. I don't want to think about it. We just aren't going to host. We're going to go out to dinner." And it got me thinking, like, we all, like, there has been a point for all of us with respect to holiday gatherings that it's like, you have to go, but you don't want to go. Like, is there, like, strife going on? We're just coming off this awful election. Like, all of those things. Have you been in a position where you disinvited or uninvited or reinvited someone because you don't want to deal with it?
So happy to welcome all of you to the pre-Thanksgiving adults table meeting. In this meeting, we are going to cover the things we will and will not do at the Thanksgiving, starting with the phrase, Is that what you're wearing? We will not be using the phrase, is that what you're wearing? That is what they're wearing. They showed up in it. We will not be discussing any holes in any clothes. They've got holes in their jeans. They paid for those holes to be there. It's fashion. We will not be using any phrases that are taken from the younger generation's slang, such as skibbity, riz, sigma, Ohio. You may recognize some of those words, but you and I don't know what they mean in their context. They're off the table. Let's go ahead and practice not telling people they need a haircut. We're going to refrain from complimenting any dishes until we've all decided together if that dish is worthy of the compliment, because it will show up again next year. And then we are all going to go take a nap somewhere that is very inconvenient for the rest of the family. Make sure that your nap is somewhere that children usually run, and then that way you can be annoyed at them when they do, in fact, run. We're going to continue with the best practice of making the photo taking pretty inconvenient, either right before we're about to eat and we're hungry, or right after when we're all exhausted and ready to go for a cousin walk. Make sure the camera is pointed away from the sun so that the sun is directly in everyone's eyes. And then let's go ahead and practice restraint for anything that might surprise you, like a piercing or an unexpected color in the hair. We're just going to let those go, because what we're going to do here is just show love. We're going to show love, and we're going to show tradition, so that one day they might be at this very table. That's all for this meeting. We'll discuss more at the next.
Very good. Very good.
In time for the cousin walk.
Is that what you're wearing?
That is what they're wearing.
What I showed up in. That's exactly right. Do you have any rules?
No. We're going to a friend's house this year. Super. And I'm so excited to be doing that, because I feel like I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm crashing someone else's Thanksgiving, and I will be on my best behavior, as I normally would be. And so I don't have to worry about any of that.
Our only rule is no football on while we're eating, which I hate that rule.
I was going to say.
And no politics.
Okay.
But no religion either. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The politics, religion, abortion, guns, all that stuff.
You know, even though you say those rules, or it's implied, but Scott, you verbalized those several years ago. Even though you say that, don't you feel like there's always one relative that's going to be like, I just want to say one thing?
Not even that. I mean, snide comments slip out all the time.
Well, I mean, we jab each other all the time. My brother's daughter, Lydia, has the quickest wit I've ever seen in my life. And you think that jab you dropped on me the other day was good? She does that for an hour at the dinner table.
Yeah.
She's
How old
very,
is she?
She's 22.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, her birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, or in a week.
I mean, if you can't make fun of your family, who else are you going to make fun of?
No, and we do that. I mean, we make fun of each other the entire time. And it's okay. We're cool with it. I mean, just like on this show, you know, we all goof on each other all the time. And it's okay, because we all love each other. I mean, it's not done because we don't like each other. It's done because we love each other and it's funny.
Like, I can see your hair moving because Dana just blinked.
Wow. Why do my eyelashes bother you so much?
Because they're fake.
Well, she knows that.
You are carrying around a couple of billboards above your eyes right now.
You going to sell that space?
I'm wearing them because I had a television shoot. I don't want to take them off. Then I'll look naked before dinner.
You're going to dinner like that?
I was going to. Are they that bad?
They're very pronounced.
Well, it depends on where you're going to dinner. If you're going to Burger King, well...
Is it
going to
be dark?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. I'll take them off. Are they that bad?
No.
They're caterpillary. They're not. I know. But like on camera, you won't be able to see them. You understand that.
Yes. Yes, but you're not on camera anymore.
Well, yeah, but.
Can we predict how much snow we're going to get this winter with your eyelashes? Oh,
all right. I'll take them off.
Gosh. Do they hurt to take off? I've never seen a woman take off eyelashes.
Do you want me to take off one and then leave one on? Fine. Hang on.
Oh, there that looks painful.
All right. Now our boss is texting. I want to see a photo of those lashes. Fine. I'll send them to her. They do look like happy little dead caterpillars, but oh, they make your eyes look so much better.
Dana,
the right side of your face looks fantastic now. But you still have the one on your left eye, and it just looks...
Okay, I will tell you this. When you take one off and one on... Diddly diddly dumpling, my son John.
Looks like a rough night.
It does.
Nice. Excellent. Great dig, Dan. Really good. All right, back to back to the topic at hand. What are the do's and don'ts at your Thanksgiving table? This guy in the video, and it's very creative, says you can't come in, or if somebody comes into the home, you can't say, "Is that what you're wearing?" Yes, it's what I'm wearing. It's what I showed up in.
I have shut down.
Oh, you look so much better.
Thank you. The last time, or maybe two times ago, my parents were in town. We were having a lovely luncheon. Everything was lovely. And then my mom, out of the blue, it was back when the Olympics were on, makes a political comment and then asks me my opinion, which she doesn't even need to do because she knows my opinion on these things.
Yeah. And both of your parents love to mention anything political.
Love it. But keep in mind, I hadn't seen them in like 9 months. I was super excited to talk to them about 96 billion other things except those things. And when she said that, I didn't snap at her. I would never do that. She's my mother. But I did say, I put down my napkin. I said, "I'm going to stop you right there."
Good.
That always diffuses everything. I'm going to stop you right there. And I believe I said something to the effect of, we have to live in those headlines for work every single day. It's all we do, Scott, is read all of the crap. And I just said, you know what?
Not up in here.
Not on my private. I said, you know, no.
Yeah.
I've actually started to make a joke out of it. I said, you know what? We make a pretty decent amount of money to bathe in the swamp of those headlines during the week. If you would like to have that conversation with me right now, I'm going to charge you for it.
Good for you.
I do. I just shut it down now. I don't have any interest in hearing your political thought on anything for any reason, and I'm not sharing mine.
From the text line.
Yeah.
What not to say at Thanksgiving dinner. What do you do?
No, rephrase it, Sam. The emphasis needs to be on, what do you do? That's even worse.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today. Q39KC.com. Before we move on from the text line, a couple of Thanksgiving family rules. Number one, this is from 8348. Do not bring instant mashed potatoes into my house. PSA to my mother-in-law. Ooh. 5957 writes, do get out of my house in time for me to go to the plaza lighting ceremony.
That is a tradition.
Can I make a confession?
You've never been.
Last week, Dana was remarking about the places in town that she has never seen, like the Truman Library, I think was one of them, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. In almost 40 years in this town, I have never been to a plaza lighting ceremony. Not once.
It's a big crowd, and I've always said, like, you can see the exact same lights come on the next night, and there's like 70 or 100,000 fewer people there.
I will say that if you don't like crowds, don't go.
Yeah.
Or get there early and get a nice spot on top of a parking garage where you can see the stage. But even then, you're going to have a crowd form around
you. It's festive.
What we do is drive through like a couple days later.
Yeah.
I don't mind being around people, of course. But 250,000 or 200,000, whatever it is that they get down there, no thank you.
I like to go in the middle of the night for the preview.
That's a great point. They do test them.
They do.
In the nights before.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Story here. This is a press release from the Overland Park Police Department. And it's dated November 13th, 2 days ago. Headline, theft. The Overland Park Police Department is seeking assistance to identify a person and vehicle of interest in a theft case that occurred on October 24th of this year at approximately 7:20 in the evening in the area of 107th and Knoll. The vehicle is believed to be a dark gray or silver Ford F-150 truck. If you have any information, they ask that you call the TIPS hotline, 816-474-TIPS.
And there are several photos.
Very identifiable. The photos are good. You could clearly make out who this person is. An older white guy with a... what?
The whole thing just makes me laugh.
He's wearing a gray hat, a blue Under Armour pullover, and khaki shorts.
I don't know who owned the truck in question. It's a steel gray Ford F-150. I don't know if there was anything of significant value in the truck. I do know that Overland Park put out this release. And if you're that truck's owner, you want your truck back with very identifiable photos of this older retired gentleman. In a way that made me giggle because, well, a couple of things. The photos of said man made me giggle, number one. And number two, it seems like a lot to put this out for public consumption for a truck. And we've talked about this. There's like a bajillion cars and trucks are stolen in Kansas City every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a Kia, bar the door, right? And so this morning I woke up and I saw again that they want information about this man because they first posted it, I think, a couple days ago.
Right.
Then I saw it again on my feed. I mean, what, I don't know what was in this truck, but they want to find this much older gentleman.
So you woke up way too early this morning and we're sitting in bed, a little bored, I'm assuming.
Oh, just a little.
I was a lot bored.
And Dana penned on her Facebook page, Dana Wright KMBZ, an ode to Ed. She's given this man the name Ed. We don't know that that's his real name.
Yes, I'm telling you, his name is going to be Ed. He looks like every Ed you have ever met in your entire life.
So Dana wrote, and I quote, unless you'd rather read it.
No, you go right ahead.
I'll read it with my own interpretation. No one saw Ed coming. He just left the Overland Park Costco with his new pair of cargo shorts. He was newly retired, a little bored. Maybe he was looking for some excitement in his life. Ed had worked so hard for so long, he found it difficult to enjoy his newly earned spare time. He'd taken up fishing again, was horrible at golf, and his lawn was all set for the brutal Johnson County winter ahead. So as the leaves began to turn that season in Kansas City, secretly Ed was yearning for something more, something bigger than his 2017 Kia Soul. Sure, it was reliable, but Ed couldn't shake the feeling that there was something better out there, something of significance, something to make him feel useful again. And then he saw it. It was a large truck, manly, steel gray. It was the kind of truck that a man drove to Arrowhead on a Sunday. And it beckoned Ed. He was just sitting there, gloriously backed into a quiet slot on the far west side of the town center parking lot. Ed always pictured himself driving around in one of those beasts, but the wife would never allow it. Wanted something more practical, she said. On that day, something changed inside of Ed. He decided right then and there he was done with practical. And while he knew he had to act quickly, he had an eye doctor appointment in an hour, he knew he had to act all the same. It was time. Time to be more than, well, just Ed. P.S. If you see Ed, maybe buy him a cup of coffee, black, please, and then call my friends at the Overland Park Police Department. How did I do?
You read it exactly in my mind the way I wrote it, and the ode to Ed needed to be delivered. If you go to the Overland Park Police Department's page, you will see the photos of Ed and the truck that they are so desperately trying to reunite with its owner.
And when you recognize him, because he's very recognizable, call the police department. This has been a public service announcement from Daniel.
He's got the gray cargo shorts. He's got his readers gently dangling from his Under Armour quarter zip. We all know Ed. Help bring Ed home. Help bring Ed home, people.
913-586-7798. Story here from Channel 9. There is an ongoing effort to seek assistance from outside law enforcement agencies for the Kansas City Police Department as KCPD works to add officers. Mayor Quentin Lucas said he spoke last week with Missouri Governor-elect Mike Kehoe about public safety. A spokeswoman for Kehoe confirmed that the two did speak after the election, with public safety among the topics discussed. Mayor Lucas said he is in ongoing discussions with Jackson County Sheriff Daryl Forte about having deputies add shifts in Kansas City, Missouri. Quoting here from the mayor, "We need more law enforcement to enhance our patrols, and we will do everything possible. We've seen in other jurisdictions where highway patrol and city collaborations have led to the seizures of more vehicles that have been stolen. They have led to more arrests. And so we want to make sure in Kansas City we take the opportunity to do that as well." Daryl Forte confirmed there have been discussions about the city hiring deputies in an off-duty capacity to support the KCPD in some areas of Kansas City.
People like it ain't going to arrest themselves.
That's right. Okay. This story out of Georgia. A North Georgia mom is outraged after she was arrested because her 10-year-old son wandered into town less than a mile from home while she was taking her other son to a doctor's appointment.
10.
NBC News interviewed 41-year-old Brittany Patterson, who lives in Fannin County in the Blue Ridge Mountains. She said she had left her home on October 30th with her other son when all of a sudden she got a call from the county sheriff's department. It was about her 10-year-old son, Soren. According to an incident report, deputies saw the boy walking along Mineral Bluff Highway to the Beehive gas station in town. The boy, when asked if he was okay, told the deputies, "Yeah, I'm fine." When asked if he needed help, he said no.
"You're gonna be grounded when I get home, but yeah, other than that, you're fine."
The boy told deputies that he was not in school because he was homeschooled and that his grandfather was home. Deputies then tried to get in contact with Soren's mother, Brittany. After deputies tried calling Brittany once, she declined the call and asked the deputies, unbeknownst that they had called her, to text. They called a second time and she answered. In the incident report, deputies said Brittany seemed very unsurprised or concerned that her son was alone.
Okay. I am team mom on this one. Assuming all other things are normal in the home, okay? There's food in the home.
Grandpa's at home.
Yeah, there's not someone chained to the wall in the basement. Like, all of those things. Assuming all of those things are normal, can you not leave a 10-year-old home with grandpa when you go drive your other child to a doctor appointment?
Now, she claims that she was going to take Soren or Soren. I don't know how you pronounce it. I know there's a Soren here in town on the radio, so we'll go with Soren. She claims that she was trying to get Soren in the car to go with her to his brother's appointment, but he never came to the car. When she went back into the house to look for him, she couldn't find him, so she assumed he had gone to play in the woods. Well, turns out he was probably halfway to the gas station at this point, so she left. I'm with you on this one, Dana. I'm team mom.
She appears to me to be a free-range mom. Free-range mom. Because,
well, and she homeschools.
Here's number one, she homeschools. Number two, if I came back into the house to look for my child, couldn't find my child, really at age 10 or 18, I don't care what their age, I'd be like, "Hello, where did you go?"
Yeah.
Just to get eyeballs on them before I left. "Hey, I'm leaving. I'll be back in 20. This says to me she's a free-range mom. This was less than a mile away. He was not in any distress. Was she charged with something?
Yes, she was. She was arrested. Let me see what the charges are.
Yeah, when she was arrested, she allegedly told deputies she did not know it was illegal for her child to walk to the store by himself. She did not know it was illegal for that to happen when she was not at home and didn't know where he was. According to the incident report, Patterson and her older children, quote, found the situation to be a laughing matter. She cannot comprehend why this is a serious issue. She was handcuffed in front of the kids.
Yes. She was also offered an opportunity from the sheriff's department. They would drop the charge if she signed a form.
No.
Guaranteeing that her children would always be under a watchful eye.
No.
But Ms. Patterson refused to sign it and said she will argue the charges. If found guilty, she could face a year in jail.
No. I am absolutely team mom on this one. This was not, "I left a 2-year-old unsupervised next to a swimming pool. Give me a break."
Well, and
it's not like she was out partying in the middle of the night either. She was taking kid number two to the doctor appointment.
I see kids. There's a Catholic school not too far from my house, but it's a walk. If I were to walk in, it would probably be 20 to 30 minutes. Okay? And I see kids who go to that Catholic school. "Scott, how do you know?" Because they're wearing plaid skirts. And there's like three of them.
You're arguing with people that don't exist, and I don't know why you do that.
Because there are some people who are going to say she should have waited and found her kid first.
No.
Kids still walk to school all the time.
I regularly walk to school as early as kindergarten. I would walk down to CVS, which was further away than school was.
You don't begrudge the officers who just pulled alongside the kid and say, "Hey, just making sure you're all right."
Because
it was in the middle of the school day. So I understand why the officers would be like, "Hey, buddy, you okay?" But then at the point where he's like, "No, I'm homeschooled. I'm just running to the store." Okay.
I think 10 and over,
So I was going to ask you, how old were you when you were first left alone?
Boy, I don't know.
I feel like I was closer to 12, but...
11, 12 maybe, where mom would say, hey, I'm running to the store, I'll be
Sam,
right
what about you?
Till I was left at home alone?
Yeah.
I mean, my sister's 4 years older than me.
Oh, there
so.
You go. She was babysitting.
Very young age.
Remember my mom, when she would leave, even if it was to run, where, like whatever, yeah. She would say, no cooking.
Well, I would say that to my kid too. No cooking. 913-586-7798. It is an interesting topic. At what age is it okay to leave a kid at home alone? Now, she argues that grandpa was there. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. And
there's absolutely no story here if grandpa was home.
And at what point can a kid walk down the street to the gas station and get a snack?
But we are promoting the sedentary lifestyle that our kids are living through this story.
What
the
do you
fact
mean?
That
Stay
we
home?
Are convicting parents for letting their kids be free-range children is promoting the idea that kids should just sit inside on their iPad and play video games.
Within reason. You know,
we rode our bikes so far that we didn't even want to tell our parents how far we rode them.
We would go play down in the creek at Fort Hood behind the neighborhood, running all over town.
Now, there's another story in the stack about a mom who was arrested because she ordered her 12-year-old out of the car on an interstate over bad grades.
Well, I think we all agree that that's not
And
okay.
So, you know, like everything, there are shades of, you know, not that we're here to rank parental behavior, but Scott and I were talking about this during a break. That to me is a little bit of a tougher topic for the program because most people would say you don't order a 12-year-old out of the car on an interstate. Although, who among us, Scott, growing up, did not at least once have a parent say, get out of the car?
I was threatened of that dozens of times.
Don't you make me stop this car. Like, right. I do remember my mom uttering those words.
My mom started packing the suitcase when I threatened to run away from home.
Yeah, on the side of an interstate,
probably
I understand why there was an arrest in that case.
There was a story a couple of years ago when a dad made his daughter walk. I don't remember what she complained about, but it was something benign.
And he made her walk home.
And he made her walk all the way to school, and it was like 3 miles. Now, he drove right behind her the whole time. She was safe. But even he was put on blast on the internet for saying, why didn't you just take her to school? And it's like, being a parent, I don't know.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. When is a child old enough to be left at home alone? And when is a child old enough to just walk down the street to a gas station and get a snack or a Slurpee or something? 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's go to Jess in Lawrence on line one. Jess, hello.
Hello, Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
You guys talked about pulling over on the interstate.
Yeah.
One time when I was a lot younger, I disrespected my mom all day, and she said on the way home, don't make me pull this car over and spank your butt. And I said, we're on the interstate. You're not going to do that. Well, she did.
That was dumb.
A highway patrolman pulled up behind us. Asked what was going on. She explained how the day went and what I said to her. And he said, okay, got in his car and sat there and waited until she was done. And then as we pulled away, he pulled out. And I was like, now he's going to pull you over for child abuse. We hit those little turnarounds and I watched him turn around and head back the other direction.
And how did your rear end feel by the end of that day, Jess?
It was sore.
Nice. Kathy in, it says Kathy's calling from Kathy. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, actually from Overland Park. I was calling about the kids staying home. How old can you be? And I remember when I was young in the 70s, we got to stay home, and I was even babysitting down the street at apartment complex by the time I was 12. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it depends on how mature your kids are and how your parents raise you to be independent. So,
amen.
You know, yep. So,
well, Kathy,
I'm all for making kids independent.
Have a great weekend, okay?
You too. Thank you.
All right, be well. Chris in Lenexa. Chris, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to say that the federal government has decided that 12 is the age that you no longer get to deduct your child care for a child. So, you know, that's the age they feel that you can have a latchkey kid.
I didn't know that.
You know, get home. Yeah, I mean, if you're under 12, if your child's under the age of 12, you can take a credit, you know, depending upon, you know, your income level, you can take a credit for what you pay for child care, you know, after school child care and everything. But once they reach 12, you don't get that credit anymore.
I did not know that, buddy. Huh. Chris, thank you for the call, man. Do appreciate it. 913-586-7798. Jim in Topeka. Hey, Jim.
Yes, it's so hard to judge maturity and available to accept responsibility, and trying to assign a number to that is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Some can be rock solid at 10 and 12, and then to quote Red Green, you may be able to grow old, but you can stay immature all your life. So we've got to add another layer of how to make that decision in there. But the woman dropping her kid off on the highway, not even I would do that.
You would threaten it, Jim, but you wouldn't actually do it. What you would say is, don't you make me pull this car over.
Well, I'd get a more appropriate place to do it rather than the interstate. Take care.
Okay, Jim. You take care as well. I got time for a couple more. Kara in Olathe. Hello.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I was just saying, my husband was deployed, and I've got three kids. At the time, my oldest was 10 years old, and I ran into Target really quick, was literally in there for 5 minutes, and when I came out, there was police at my car. And someone had called me in wanting to arrest me because I ran in to get groceries really quick.
Now, how old were the kids? They were in the car?
10, 8, and 6. And my son had the doors locked. He had my cell phone, and he was on the phone with my mom. So, you know, if anything were to happen, she would call and get help.
Hey, Kara.
Here's
what I'm going to tell you, because I can hear people screaming in their cars. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We have all been in that situation where you just want to run in. You just, like,
right.
It's just 1 minute. I'm just going to run in. And my God, with four kids, I remember thinking, oh, it's just going to be a minute. But I will say this. I think if you look at it through the lens of how does this look on the outside looking in, where they don't know that your child's on the phone with someone. They don't know how long they've been in the car. They don't know that your intention was to be in 3 minutes. I would err on the side of caution because police are likely going to be called 99 out of 100 times in that scenario.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I agree with what the gentleman just said. Like, honestly, it depends on the child. Like, my 10-year-old is an 85-year-old man inside. And I get that it depends on the maturity level of each child. But who better to gauge that than the mother?
True. But to Dana's point, you know, if I was walking by the car, I would probably have called police, too. And later this afternoon or this evening, I would encourage you to look up. It was a 24-year-old case now, but I remember covering it. I know Dana covered it.
God, he'd be 30 years old.
Yep. Look up the case of Jake Robel, R-O-B-E-L, out of Blue Springs.
And I think that's why people our age, Scott, thought twice before leaving someone in the car,
for
a second.
Jake would be 30 years old.
He'd be 30 years old. He would have children. He would be married.
We have been here a long time. I can still remember that story like it was yesterday.
And damn the man to hell.
And absolutely.
Who took that car.
And Pamela Butler, that was in 1999, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I can still hear the audio. Bob Benish, who was a reporter here, was following Pamela Butler's mom. Her name escapes me. Is it Sheila? Or
Sherry.
Sherry,
West.
Thank you. Yes. And she had invited Bob to go with her as she was searching for Pamela. And she was in a junk car lot.
Yeah.
And she was screaming, Pammy! Pammy! And Bob was with her. And I hope helping.
Her murderer has been on death row longer.
I think he's gone.
Than any of those victims.
Keith Nelson was his name.
Roamed the earth.
I thought he died.
if he did, that might have happened when I was on vacation or otherwise not here, because I do feel like I signed up to be a witness to that execution, Scott. In the very beginning when that case happened, I said, I will be there when they put that waste of oxygen to death. And of course, it happened on the Kansas side, so that's it hadn't happened.
I'll look him up. He was arrested in Grain Valley, you'll recall. Mm-hmm. Or no, her body was found in Grain Valley in the parking lot of a church. I'll look up and see if Keith Nelson's been executed or not. Yes, he did. He died in August of 2020.
Man.
In Terre Haute, Indiana. He was executed by lethal injection. Bye. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.